This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Daily Tip on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Welcome back to the show. The Daily Tip for BetQL, presented by BetMGM. Great to have you with us. Coming up shortly, we'll continue talking NBA and bring in J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for the latest on the Milwaukee Bucks taking on the Pacers tonight. Kate, I don't know if you saw this, but DJ Burns, the NC State legend from the tournament, has just signed a new name, image, and likeness deal with the North Carolina Dairy Producers Association and the North Carolina Department of Agriculture. So he's doing a whole lot of ads, or at least he's released at least one ad now, talking about why you should drink milk. Big guy, big strong bones, grow up big and strong, have success in the tournament. And I happen to think for this guy, it's sort of the perfect sponsor for him. Perfect for someone of his size, like he's a big boy. But you know what? If you're promoting milk and dairy products, who doesn't want to grow up to be like DJ Burns?
I mean, hey, DJ Burns, go get your money. Right?
Yeah, right.
And it is kind of a perfect match made in heaven. You've got one of the he's not the biggest guy in college basketball, but like a big burly guy, right? And when
yes.
You think of someone big and burly and like rugged, you think of a strong man. What builds strong men? Milk, right? That calcium. That 2%.
Exactly.
Maybe a little whole milk, some skim.
Yeah.
I don't know. You pick your poison, but DJ Burns, he's got those strong bones to be able to power down low. That's what we saw in the tournament. I this is genius.
Have you ever had a sponsor, not an NIL deal, but maybe you're a spokesperson for anything? Could be small, could be large, could be dairy products, could be fitness product, anything?
Well, Jinx, I used to work in PR back in the day.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Milk was one of my clients. So chocolate milk, regular milk. So I'm just pumping ads for milk, no pun intended there, all day, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Chocolate milk makes your bones grow strong. It's the recovery choice of elite athletes.
Yes. This is,
it's got
I agree with all of this. It doesn't matter if you're a grown man like DJ Burns or a suckling baby. Pump out the milk for everyone. It doesn't do anything wrong for anyone. We're all about, I can't believe you used to be a PR person for milk. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Bucks are hoping to have, this is going to be the worst transition I've ever made. The Bucks are hoping to have strong bones tonight against the Pacers. I don't know where else to go after that. Let's bring in trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking to J.R. Radcliffe. J.R., good morning to you. You big milk drinker, you wake up in the morning, big fresh glass of vitamin D right there for you?
I can't say that's really my routine. I do have milk with cereal, of course. Like any grown adult child, I have my morning cereal with milk. That's a tough transition, but I'm here for it. You know, I've been known to have a few weird segues in my day. So let's go.
Poor guy.
Let's go through it.
So sorry about that. You guys wants to talk basketball.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Asking him about whole milk, for God's sake. Go ahead, Kate. I'll give him a respite here.
All right, JR. So Damian Lillard clearly had his drank his milk before game one. I mean, 35 points in the first half. He was unbelievable. That was Dame time. That's the Damian Lillard that Milwaukee fans have kind of been waiting to show up all season long. What got into him in that first half to start the postseason?
It was a really good opportunity, you know, with Giannis Antetokounmpo sidelined. And I mean, to be fair, the Indiana Pacers don't really play a ton of defense. I mean, that's not really their calling card. So you kind of got the sense that this was going to be it could be a moment for him if he rose to the occasion. Now, he's been kind of the alpha the last few games of the season because Giannis has been out, and the Bucks have struggled. You know, they're like 1-8 when he doesn't play, when Damian Lillard doesn't play. So he is essential to what they do. But it didn't look pretty toward the end of the season when they had a game against the Magic on the last day of the season, for example. So I think it was just a matter of him just hitting his shots. I mean, he was taking some deep shots, the logo Lillard that we've come to know. Those shots were not falling late in the season and really at points throughout the regular season. But in the first half, anyway, against Indiana on Sunday night, we saw it differently. And, you know, he was aggressive driving to the hoop like we've seen, especially when Giannis is out. He really was taking control of the basketball game and understood when the defense favored him and making it work for him. And it was very encouraging. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, it's been a tense season for the Milwaukee Bucks because there were expectations that this team would just kind of take over. Maybe not with Boston, but with everybody else in the Eastern Conference. And we didn't necessarily see them rise to that level, even with two future Hall of Famers on the roster kind of still in their prime or adjacent to their prime. So it was a nice breath of fresh air for everybody to see that, you know what, Damian Lillard can still do this, can still lead a team deep into the playoffs if it's even just him. And it was nice to get a glimpse of that, even though he had no points in the second half when the Pacers really turned up the heat on Lillard specifically. They were able to coast from there somewhat. So very encouraging showing, and now the Bucks can kind of afford to rest Giannis another game because they know that this formula works.
JR, let me ask you about, you mentioned that tension there in Milwaukee because of the expectations going into this season. And I know it's easy to pick on Doc Rivers, but let me take the temperature on Doc there in Milwaukee, because you see this team up close, you see Doc up close. What is your opinion? What is the fans' opinion of Doc and the job that he's done with this team?
So Doc Rivers has kind of a built-in favorability anyway, because he went to Marquette University. So there's a really strong connection between Rivers and the city of Milwaukee. There always has been. So that works in his favor to start with coming in. I think there was some skepticism, of course, you know, when you have a guy who, you know, why is he just sitting around? You know, if he's a guy who wanted to coach, why didn't he have that opportunity going into the season? It kind of seems like the Bucks would have been one of a pre-ideal opportunity going into the season, but they went in a different direction going with Adrian Griffin. So I think, you know, I think people were okay with the Griffin move. I mean, obviously, when you fire a coach who's got a 30-13 record, your eyebrows go up. But I think for people who followed the Bucks, they saw some really, really bad warning signs and some issues on defense that really suggested this team, you know, maybe didn't make the right hire. So the switch is fine. The schedule got a lot tougher in the second half of the season, so there's some forgiveness there. Yes, his record wasn't as good as Adrian Griffin's, but the schedule was just really different. It was really second half heavy for the Milwaukee Bucks, and that's important to know. And some injuries were kicking in as well. He hasn't had his main three guys available, you know, with Chris Middleton included. I think it's like 120 minutes over the whole season with the one of the three going out with injury. So again, there's some leash. If things go wrong in the playoffs, I'm sure Milwaukee is going to feel about Doc Rivers like the rest of, you know, the United States of America. There's going to be questions about his playoff record, and he's coached all these Hall of Famers but has only the one title, you know. I think that stuff is possibly simmering in the background, but I do sense there's a little bit of give here. There's a little bit of like, okay, mm-hmm. You know, it hasn't been pretty, but it really is just about what happens now. So if they have some success in the playoffs, I mean, obviously, I think that kind of goes without saying. If they have success in the playoffs, people will warm up very quickly to the idea that Doc Rivers should have been here all along and is going to be the Bucks coach going forward.
JR, what adjustments do you anticipate Indiana making in game two? Because like you said, they weren't terrible in the second half of that game one. They just kind of got punched in the face early in that first half. And maybe some of the nerves or lack of experience, postseason experience, played into that. So going forward, What do you think the Pacers are going to do adjustment-wise, and is that going to be able to keep them in these games a little bit better than game one?
Yeah, I think it's really well observed that they looked nervous. I'm sure they weren't nervous, but they just did not look crisp for their first playoff experience in a few years here. Tyrese Halliburton's just got to be more aggressive. That's a kid from Wisconsin, so he has a footprint here as well. And the Bucks and the Pacers, as a lot of people know, have a little bit of history during the regular season, and Halliburton was a little bit at the center of that. So single-digit assists and single-digit points from Tyrese Halliburton is a very rare bird, and I don't suspect that we're going to see that again. I think you're going to see more aggressiveness from him and more aggressiveness in general. But some of it is just like the Pacers had wide-open shots. You know, they missed their first 14 three-pointers, and I want to say like 8 of those were very, very open, very makeable. I don't know if the Pacers' offense was really that bad. I mean, the Bucks stepped it up. There's no question. You know, the Bucks held the Pacers to a point total that is lower than anything they've seen in the regular season, in this past regular season. So the Bucks had to rise to the occasion too. But Indiana was okay, I think. And if a couple more of those three-pointers go down, if you see a little more aggressiveness from Halliburton, I think this is a much, much closer game in game two. You know, Siakam was great. Pascal Siakam finishes with 36 points, finishes with more points than Damian Lillard did. I think the formula was okay for them. It's just a matter of just turning up the aggressiveness a little bit. Getting through game one is probably helpful. And, you know, making some of those wide-open threes that they had.
We're talking with J.R. Radcliffe, trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's also on X at J.R. Radcliffe. So I know right now with Giannis out of the lineup, we focus on Dame. But who besides Damian Lillard really needs to step up and perform well in this game tonight?
I mean, the obvious answer are the guys who stepped up in game one, and that's Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis. You know, both of them had double-doubles. Middleton, when he went out in the third quarter, that's when Indiana really started to find and cut a 30-point lead down to 12 points. I mean, that game could have swiveled pretty aggressively at that point where, you know, it was 12 points is nothing for a team like the Indiana Pacers especially. And there was still, you know, like 2 minutes left in the third quarter. Like, that was an absolutely negotiable difference. And then Chris Middleton came back in and things got a little bit different. That's a guy who can hit jump shots anywhere on the floor. There aren't many, like, straight-up just jump shooters in the NBA. He's one of them. He'll break you down one-on-one, rise up and fire anywhere inside the arc and outside the arc too. But he was a guy who really settled things down. So especially with Giannis probably being out again, that's an obvious answer. You know, Bobby Portis has this somewhat spiritual connection with the building, Pfizer Forum, with the fans of Milwaukee. He is just this energy, and really excuse me, when he's playing well, when he's a double-double guy like he can be, that provides something that you're not going to get even on the road. But I can't really explain what he does. But when Bobby Portis is truly on, it's really tough to match what the Bucks are doing. So those are the two guys, and Portis will be probably in the starting lineup where Giannis would have been. They're probably going to need more from other guys. You know, maybe Patrick Beverley hits a couple shots. Malik Beasley, who was awesome from three-point range for the first half of the season, was in that three-point competition during NBA All-Star Weekend, has really, really struggled since then. Going to need him to hit some shots, too. So I know I gave you a lot of names, but it's cliche as it is. It is a little bit of a collective effort when a guy like Giannis goes down.
JR, just a couple minutes left. What are you hearing about Giannis's injury and a potential timeline for his return? Is there anything that you've heard or reported that might not be as mainstream as what the big networks are saying?
No, they're being really close to the vest about it. Now, I will say that there were a couple games there at the end of the season where Giannis was wearing like a boot on his foot to reinforce that strained soleus muscle, strained calf muscle. He was not wearing that for game one. You know, he was up moving around on the bench. That's not atypical for him when he's out with injury. He's not the type of guy to just sit still and chill, even if it is something lower body related. But he, you know, he's moving around. So I would imagine, knowing Giannis, knowing the way that he has recovered from injuries, knowing the way that it's so hard to keep him off the floor, he's probably going to play in this series. I would feel comfortable saying that, even though I don't have any, you know, concrete evidence of that. I highly doubt he plays in game two. I mean, that's what game one bought you, is the extra time. You know, that was just just 48 hours later, and they're taking the floor again. You would think that's – if he's available then, he would have been available on Sunday. So I could see them giving them three more days, hoping Friday works out. If they win this game tonight, go up 2-0, you know, maybe you let them rest again. It's you got a little wiggle room to play with at that point, and you have Damian Lillard. So I'm guessing they're going to push it as long as they feel comfortable before losing control of the series. So I think it's a little bit outcome dependent, honestly, but I do think he's going to be able to play in this series.
He is the trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on X. And I have to say, very solid opinion on milk out of the box. It is our friend J.R. Ratcliffe. J.R., we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. 2% forever, guys. Love 2%.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Got it in. There it is. I like it first. Amazing. You dipped the toe in the water, and then he was like, all right, I'm going in on 2%. Somebody needs to stand up for 2%. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Well, I will say that that's some interesting news about Giannis, because I was sort of thinking that it might be the next series. So if you're a Bucks fan, or if you're a better in general who likes Milwaukee, this is good news. It looks like he's trending back. Maybe not tonight, but for Game 3.
Yeah, and like JR said, if they can buy a little time with a win tonight, maybe they push it back a little. But if not, maybe Giannis pushes himself a little bit and comes back sooner, just knowing that they need this series.
And they do. We'll see what happens. And you know what? That's best case for Milwaukee, right? They don't need him, and let Giannis rest. But I think the Pacers are going to be game tonight. Coming up next here on the show, yep, it is that type of morning when we try to win you some cash. Best bets are coming your way. She's Kay Constable. I'm Michael Jenkins. It is a Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM.
The Daily Tip will be right back on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.